The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey, this is your Olympic hero, Kurt Angle, and you're listening to Top Rope Nation. Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
I finished these fights.
Give me a hell yeah.
Top Rope Nation.
Learn to love it. It's the best thing going today.
Oh, good evening, boys and girls, and welcome to episode 251 of Top Rope Nation. My name's Ryan Drosty. Joined here by the boys tonight, it's Mr. Kyle Ross and Justin Joint, here to talk all the latest in the news with professional wrestling. And we've got some exclusive news to break tonight, coming off our show on Monday, where we recapped WrestleMania Backlash. Justin Joint, you were not able to join us for that show.
250, I missed it.
You're back. Yeah, it was a landmark show, 250, but you're here for 251. How's it going?
Great. North London is blue today at the time of this recording. Yes. North London is blue.
Kyle, how are you feeling?
Good. I didn't know who you're going to throw it to first, and I definitely was going to set Justin up for that anyway, so I'm glad he got that in. Man. I shouldn't be shocked, but, you know, the magic number is three always here on Top Rope Nation, as you know. But some of us care a little bit more that we're only 1 point away from the top four in the Premier League table. Soccer term,
ooh,
Ryan.
Yeah,
table. Right. We don't call it standings. Table.
I was gonna ask how you were doing there on the betting front, Kyle. So,
well, I'll tell you what. Glad you asked. I just cashed the under on the Heat Sixers, and the podcast is starting, and I don't have to listen to Stephen A. Smith's shitty analysis, so I'm feeling great.
How could you not be?
Kyle, when you're looking at the Premier League games, you're not taking a look at the schedule, you're taking a look at the fixture. Is that correct?
If we're talking yes, the fixture. Soccer term. Yeah.
There we go. Are you guys training me live on air with my European football? Yes. Very nice. Very nice. It wouldn't be an episode of Top Rope Nation without getting some Premier League talk in, ladies and gentlemen. But I promise we are going to get to the pro graps tonight. I teased on our social feeds and over in the Facebook discussion group. We got some exclusive news to talk about as it relates to Roman Reigns and his new WWE deal. We will get to that in just a second. Before we do, as always, I want to say, if you are tuning in to our live stream right now for the very first time, please hit subscribe. It would help us out so much. We are streaming live right now on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, Twitter.com, four different places. And immediately after the live stream ends, I'll be dropping the podcast version of this show. So if you're listening to the podcast version, please hit subscribe as well. Even better yet, go ahead and leave us a 5-star written review. When you do so, we'll read it on the air and send you a free Top Rope Nation sticker in the mail. And you see the names going across the bottom of the live stream right now. Those are all of our fantastic patrons. Thank you so much to everyone who supports us on patreon.com. There are currently 76 bonus shows available right now on Patreon. The only way you can hear those is by becoming a patron of the show. Next week, we'll have two new bonus shows dropping, a Top Rope Nation Extra with Kyle and a very special guest. And then all three of us will reconvene to do our monthly Top Rope Nation Classic show, where we will be looking back. It just won the poll on Patreon by a single vote. Judgment Day 2000. So we'll be recording that next week. It will drop on Patreon in full. Probably will come in over 2 hours. We'll put a teaser out here on the main feed so you can get a little sample of that. But if you want to hear it in full and those 76 bonus shows, become a patron. Oh, and by the way, a big shout out to the man himself, Danny Ortiz, who became a Hall of Fame level patron this week. Danny, thank you so much. You've been a patron and a big supporter of ours for a long time, but it means a lot that you pledged the Hall of Fame tier. And with that tier, you can come on the show if you so choose. You don't have to, but if you want to, we'd love to have you on. So hopefully we'll be hearing from Danny here on the show within the next couple of months, and that'll be something to look forward to.
Few things, Mr. Drosty, if I may follow that up. Number one, I believe this will be the first time we hit the year 2000 on Top Rope Nation Classic, so that'll be exciting.
Yeah. Correct. Did we do Backlash 2002?
2002, but not 2000.
Oh,
like the year 2000.
I thought you meant the 2000.
The year 2000. You remember that one, Justin?
Yes, Conan.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, but
oh, I thought you were doing Conan O'Brien. Okay.
No, no. very good. Hey, I can do both. Okay. But you talk about watching the video. You talk about patrons. A new review is in this week. Believe it or not, this one. Yes, this is from Liam in England. I don't know if you've heard of him. But he did message me because he said something funny about he was watching the video. And I was like, oh, I didn't know you watched the video every week. He's like, oh, this is a quote. So interview video feed is hilarious. Got more into watching the video feeds rather than straight audio during those lockdown months. Kind of why I imagine old people watch WWE Ride Along.
Well, Liam, I mean, I don't want to put you over too hard here, Liam O'Rourke, but check out this book, ladies and gentlemen, if you have not read it. Liam O'Rourke, Crazy Like a Fox.
Talking about this book?
Oh, my God. This was not even planned. Look at that. Yeah. Justin Joint has it as well. And it's Kyle, upstairs. You had it on our show Monday, when you were recording upstairs. So
yes.
That's funny. Thank you, Liam, as always, for your support. Patron of the show. Award-winning author, Liam O'Rourke. What do you always say, Kyle? Best author from England since Bill Shakespeare?
That's what I've said.
Billy Shakes.
That's right. All right, let's get to the news before we get too off track. Monday here on Top Rope Nation, episode 250. As we said, it was myself and Kyle reviewing Backlash, but at the end of the show, I guess it was actually about halfway through, there was some exclusive news revealed about Roman Reigns by our own Mr. Kyle Ross. And, you know, it was coming out, it was being revealed that at the time, Roman had signed a new contract. Various reports from various outlets were saying he was going to be working less dates. At the time, most people assumed that that was less house show dates. And he was being pulled from some house show advertising at the time. But we here on Top Rope Nation said, no, it goes further than that. In fact, Roman Reigns will be working less television and less premium live events moving forward. And that was first reported here on Top Rope Nation. To the best of my knowledge, nobody else had put that out there. And then within, what, about a couple, 24, 48 hours, it came out that, yes, indeed, Roman was going to be taking a break from television this summer. And then it came out today that Roman will not be working Hell in a Cell, which, Kyle, was something that you had speculated about way back on Monday. So take it from here, Mr. Ross. What's going on with Roman Reigns?
More questions than answers, I think, right now. But see if we could put the pieces of the puzzle together, the three of us. We're smart individuals. I think we could figure this out. So, as you said, Ryan, Fightful noted today that Reigns is no longer being advertised for Hell in a Cell. He's off the poster. It does not mean he's not going to be on the card, I suppose. Although Meltzer said he's not going to be on the card, and pulling him from the poster, you would assume, means he's not going to be there. And why I thought he wouldn't be on that show, we talked about this on the Backlash recap, is you look at the summer schedule of premium live events, that's clearly the least important one. They're running three stadium shows the rest of the summer. The two in July, Money in the Bank in Vegas, SummerSlam in Nashville, and then over the pond in Cardiff, the big Labor Day weekend show. So that's why I kind of speculate, all right, it kind of makes sense that Hell in a Cell would be the one that he's missing. That show's in Chicago on June 5th, and that's a show Forbidden Door, by the way, already smoked at the box office, so maybe they're kind of waving the white flag on the Chicago market. I don't know. That might be just me taking an unnecessary pot shot. But
last I saw, about 1,500 tickets were available still for Hell in a Cell.
Oh, that's less than I thought. Because how many did they put on sale, though? I thought they only had like 8,000 out.
Current capacity, last update I saw, current capacity was just over 11,000, and they had sold about 9,600. That was courtesy of WrestleTix.
Okay. So you've checked the latest update then. Now, what's interesting, Dave Meltzer was the first to note, and you kind of touched on this, Ryan. This was about 24 hours after I think you published our show. Reigns was not being advertised for anything from June 19th through Labor Day. So there's that. Here's, I think, what everyone needs to be thinking about. Very obvious, Reigns is missing time this summer. That is not up for debate. I mean, I saw some people questioning Meltzer. Stop it. Okay, he's missing time this summer. It's in the contract. He's got a reduced schedule. Again, think Lesnar, think Hogan in 97, that kind of thing. But how much time he's missing and which premium live events remains to be seen. You know, and there's confusion over why he's missing this time, right? Like Meltzer, I think on Wrestling Observer Radio said, I don't know if he's making a movie or something.
Mm-hmm.
But here's some food for thought, guys. And let's take this a step further. Let's grab the ball and run with it a little bit. Might it just be in his contract that he only has to work a select amount of TV and premium live events? Okay, we think it is. And if that's the case, I've heard no one mention this yet. Isn't Reigns getting time off from TV and premium events a strong likelihood, not just this summer, but for the duration of this new deal? And we're going to be seeing this for the next couple of years.
Yes, 100%. Mm-hmm. There's no way that this is just some sort of one-off Roman Reigns summer vacation.
Roman goes wild, yeah. Summer 2022.
This is a young man summer vacation. That was a good Ice Cube song. But what now? Let's examine the schedule. We've talked about it. They've got four events coming up between now, premium live events to you, between now and Labor Day. We all agree it makes sense that Hell in a Cell he would miss, right? Because
yes.
Mm-hmm.
They have actually matches that make sense for the big red box, and none would involve him. Like, we presume mm-hmm. Seth and Cody are doing it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe Edge and AJ.
Yeah, the tag titles, if they want to do mm-hmm. that, if they want to run that back with RK-Bro and the Usos, if they want to go down that well. The women may get one, you know, I don't know what that would be, maybe a three-way with Becky, Asuka, and Bianca. But how long is he out? So Meltzer today then followed up and said Roman is expected to be on both July premium live events, despite the fact he's been pulled from all advertising. Those would be, again, Money in the Bank, which is the beginning of July, SummerSlam, which is the end of July. I'm not sure he's going to be on Money in the Bank.
Doesn't that take away some intrigue, though? You know, like whoever wins it that night could cash in that night if he's not on there.
Well, what do we think? What do we all agreed the best move is for Money in the Bank this year?
Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
Yes, and it's not a quick cash in. I mean,
right.
The show is called Money in the Bank. It should be built around that match.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. If Reigns is going to be on both those shows, he needs two contenders. Do you have two ready-made contenders?
Was Madcap's win enough to put him over the top?
Madcap and Bruce! I mean, I guess they could do Orton. I mean, Orton is like the only throwaway that works.
Yeah.
Right, Ryan, we were talking about that. Mm-hmm. Orton was more over than McIntyre at Backlash.
I mean,
Orton was the most over guy in the whole show, to be honest with you, crowd response-wise.
I mean, if he's going to miss two PLEs, I mean, these two make sense because they're gimmick, you know, events. And at least, as we already said, at least with Hell in a Cell, you've got some other feuds that you can put in there. He doesn't really have anything outside of maybe Drew, but even that would feel a little rushed. And then with Money in the Bank, that can be your main event. That's a big deal and actually should be treated as such if you're going to have that as the, you know, big event.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the dream for Money in the Bank is, okay, your six top guys should be in it and they should spend weeks saying why I'm going to win it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not that bullshit they always do, pardon my French, of when it's like qualifying matches, you know, who's going to win. And they like just spend 3 weeks all beating each other in tag matches. That stinks. How about just announce the six top guys, like put Cody in it, Drew, Orton, Lashley,
Moss.
Maybe bring Lesnar back for it. Now, the problem with that is, and you guys have been studying this WWE long enough, they never put all the top guys in there. Why? Because somebody has to take the bumps. And so they always like throw some, you know, Shpamool in there. They're like, oh, hey, you want to be in the main event this month? Oh, sure. That's great. Well, don't think you're going to win, but we need you to take the big bump because people expect that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I think it depends on a lot of things. You can look at the direction of the world championship or the world and the universal, whatever they have planned for that. I agree with you, Kyle. You should be able to build a pay-per-view called Money in the Bank off the Money in the Bank match. We've talked in the past about how the match has been devalued over the years. Yes. If the match is strong, it should main event the show. In that case, you don't need a world championship match on the show, and you wouldn't need him. Now, yeah, we expect Cody to win it. If he does win it, hopefully he announces he's cashing in advance, like at SummerSlam, for example, and you know, you wouldn't need Reigns on that show. I do think going into the event, though, people have in their minds, like, oh, we want to see a cash-in in the same night. If they have it planned, and, you know, I certainly don't know this, and we've talked about on the show, we kind of want to see it because we think they need to legitimize another top star after Reigns has pretty much run through everyone. And we're going to talk about Reigns as champion here in a second. But if there's any possibility of Reigns dropping the title, say at SummerSlam to Cody, I could see him missing the UK show and that being headlined by, I mean, you could do Cody and Drew and have, you know, that could be a, you could have Drew coming in from the UK versus Cody, the US theme, you know, you could do that thing. I don't know though, but to me, yeah, it's got, he can't have him miss SummerSlam. I mean, so it's gotta be Money in the Bank or the, what's it called? Clash at the Castle across the pond.
Something like that. Yeah.
So, I mean, you can build that show around Drew McIntyre, especially if he's going to be challenging for the title.
And the novelty is going to draw there.
Yeah.
Of the three stadium shows, that's the one. I mean, go back to SummerSlam 92. You know, they basically were so confident in that show drawing, which it did, that they just basically ripped up their summer programs of 1992 and did the SummerSlam you thought you'd never see.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're in good shape there. Go ahead, Justin. I think you had something.
I was just going to say they could even build this into a storyline with Roman Reigns where he can just say, you know, we've talked about he doesn't have any contenders. Well, let him say that. Hey, I've beaten everybody. I'm out of here until somebody can step up. Then you have Cody win the Money in the Bank and say, you want a contender? I'll see you at SummerSlam.
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to say. That is your summer storyline, that Reigns ducks off TV and Cody says, you know what, Roman Reigns, you get your ass back here because I'll see you at SummerSlam. Absolutely. That is the big summer storyline. That's how I would do it, Justin.
Cody is so hot right now. I mean, he can somewhat carry television, at least on the Raw side. Now, we've talked about the SmackDown side really tried to stack their roster over the last few months, and that could potentially help them with Reigns being absent. And, I mean, this kind of goes into our next point, I think, on the agenda, Kyle.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, Fox right now might be a little upset.
Yeah, yeah.
No Reigns, no Charlotte.
Yeah.
Because Charlotte's taking the time off, too. So, I mean, that's two major names all of a sudden. Okay, let's get to our second talking point here. So, if Reigns, as the unified world champion, is missing dates, a lot of time, not on the weekly TV, doesn't that, again, reinforce how silly the notion of needing two world champions all the time was? As this was the case when Brock Lesnar had it. You know, and he wasn't a unified champion, but he would be like the universal champion, wasn't on TV every week, and Raw went along just fine.
Okay, I see what you're saying. I was a little confused there first, because I was thinking like, well, actually, that to them is probably going to say, hey, we do need a second champion that will be on TV while Reigns, you know, maybe the other champion is gone.
Yeah. I mean, if you're fine with the champion being gone for weeks on end, yeah, then you only need one.
Well, and here's the thing, and I think we were all in agreement on this in the past, the title structure, how we would have it. One world champion, the guy, and then each brand, if you so chose to maintain this brand split, would have their own champion. They'd be strong secondary champions. So I was thinking, man, now is about the time. You might want to strengthen that IC and US title holder, don't you think? no offense, but the not scientific theory and Rick O'Shea don't cut it from where I sit.
But not scientific theory.
His name is theory. His name is theory.
That, I mean, that's
not the scientific theory, not Austin theory.
Of theory. All the name drops and a name just being one word, this is by far the worst one.
Oh,
right?
My God. Yes.
By theory. Far the worst theory? One.
Yeah. But here's the thing, though. And I laughed at myself immediately after realizing this wasn't going to happen. It took me about 15 minutes to talk myself out of it. But when they announced Cody in theory on Monday, I was like, knowing what we knew about Reigns, the little we did at the time, I was like, man, maybe they're going to, like, you know, put the title on Cody and make the secondary champions important again. And I'm like, no, they're not. They're going to obviously do a DQ with Seth Rollins. But, you know, for 15 minutes or so, I convinced myself that they were thinking about strengthening the secondary champions. But don't you think that's something they need to do?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, Rick O'Shea?
That was a missed opportunity. You know, all those times that Brock Lesnar had the world title and was gone, yeah. It seemed like they were kind of doing it. I think it was going into WrestleMania 31, where they're kind of propping up Dolph as the Intercontinental Champion. He had a great ladder match with Brody Lee, Luke Harper. There for a minute, it seemed like they were at least trying to make the IC title important, but it didn't pan.
Yeah, no, I had the same thought with the Cody match on Monday. My first inclination was, God, I don't want to see Cody Rhodes as the U.S. champion just because those belts have been devalued so much. And yeah, I thought that's going to drag him down. But then I had the thought of, oh, maybe they're trying to strengthen the belt. And he's got the whole American Nightmare thing. It goes with that package nicely. But then I smartened up some more. And I said, ah, no, Rollins is just going to interfere. That's what we got. So
I was just thinking about what Justin said there about WrestleMania 31. The light bulb went off in my head. WrestleMania 31 is when they tried strengthening the secondary championships. Because remember, coming out of that show, it was Daniel Bryan and John Cena.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like their goal, was to actually make those mean something. And Bryan got hurt. And, you know, Cena obviously was the one and only time the U.S. title ever meant anything in WWE. But yeah, it's something I would do moving forward. I would strengthen those secondary titles. And here's the last thought that people should think about. This was actually a question our good buddy Frank Pettiani over at The Torch posed on Twitter.com. Was WWE not prepared for this? When Reigns beat Lesnar at WrestleMania, and by this, I mean Reigns wanting time off, because it's very interesting. Here's a guy, they've unified the world titles, okay? Mm-hmm. He has not defended them once. It's been a little over 30 days, so I guess old Jack on the take Tunney is asleep at the wheel. But it's obviously going to be at least another month till he actually defends it.
Mm-hmm.
One would think, hope from WWE's perspective, that the new deal was agreed to, at least in principle, before deciding who went over at Mania, right? I mean,
I don't think it would have mattered. They would have basically been in the same boat with Lesnar. I mean, he's not working, you know, every event, every TV show. So in that case, it just didn't matter.
Okay.
If he had been working almost anybody else, then yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, here's what I don't think a lot of people know here. Reigns had been looking for fewer dates for a long time. Obviously, it's not like he woke up one morning and was like, oh, my contract's up. I wonder what that means. What I can get. Like, this was something, obviously, we're hammering this home. And I tease this a little bit on Backlash. If you go back, and Justin actually just made a really good point, which kind of destroys my argument a little bit. But if you go back into the archives here at Top Rope Nation, around late January, around the Royal Rumble, I really was pushing the idea. I'm like, I think Brock Lesnar might be Reigns at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And it was because of some of the rumors I was hearing about Roman wanting time off after Mania. Now, Justin, like I said, you just made a good point. It's not like Brock Lesnar showing up on TV every week.
Now, but the counter is that I think he's proven that you just throw some money at him and he'll show up if
if you need an extra date out of him, here's a little bonus. Yeah.
What is the most time as champion Lesnar was off TV? That's a very, I realize I'm putting us all on the spot. I don't know the answer to that question.
I would have to look that up. Yeah.
When he was champion in like 2014, 2015, leading into WrestleMania 31. We're bringing that up again. I feel in like the fall, he was gone for a while because he beat Cena at SummerSlam. And I think, did they have like an immediate rematch?
Yes, at Night of Champions.
And then I feel he didn't work again until like the Rumble. Did he miss like three?
I think you're right. So yep.
14, no. 14 into, you're talking 14 into 15.
Yeah. So like the last 3 months of 2014, was he on TV at all?
He worked SummerSlam, like you said. Yeah. They had the return match at Night of Champions. And then he wasn't back till the Rumble when he worked Cena and Rollins. And then after he next worked at Mania 31.
Okay. So he missed 3 months as champion. And that was at the time, they only had one champion. They had not gone back to the brand split at that point.
Yeah. Just over 4 months. Yeah, September 21st to January 25th. Crazy.
And I wonder if he was even on TV at all. If it was, it was sparingly. But
basically, he defended the title once from September until March, and that was the Rumble match. That was it.
In a three-way. Yeah.
Yeah. Six-month period.
Jesus.
So this is actually not unprecedented. We talked about this. You know, you go back to, you know, not just using Lesnar example, Hogan in 97, there was like a 3 month period. He wasn't on any pay-per-views.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's what we're kind of looking at here. But what do you think about Frank's question? Do you think WWE was aware of or had an inkling? Okay, we're going to put the title on Roman. We're going to unify the titles on Roman at WrestleMania. But he could be out for a while. Do you think that was in the back of their mind? I mean, this couldn't have just crept up on them, Roman's demands.
No, I'm sure some conversations had to be happening at the time. Now, Roman getting both belts on the flip side would seemingly give him a little leverage in those negotiations. So it depends how they approach this, but I'm sure those conversations were happening. Like you said, I remember you talking off air about it at the time, that Roman telling me one-on-one that Roman was looking for less dates. So this has gone back a while, as you said.
When do we think this deal was made official? It feels like it was made official after WrestleMania, but before Backlash, and that bizarre thing with him being put on Backlash last minute and them canceling the unified tag team title match. That had to be a fallout of the contract, right?
Like they saw where the contract was going. It's like, oh, we need to get him on a quote unquote.
Yeah, like where they agreed to it. Like they agreed to it. It's like, oh fuck. We're like, all right, he won.
Yeah.
Like we played poker with this guy. He's not budging. He's only doing this many dates. And we're just gonna, you know, we're gonna rush him on this.
On the old contract. Get another date out of him.
You're right, because it would seem odd to burn a date on the new contract right off the rip on a nothing especially, show for a six man.
Yeah,
right.
That doesn't make any sense. That had to have been on the old contract.
Because we're saying he has a number he has to work, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming he has a set date, like a set number. Like I'm only working this much TV, this many premium live events. Now,
yes,
you know, if Reigns was able to do a deal where he got to go over at Mania with these terms or before dictating what he wanted his new schedule to be, then more power to him. I mean, my hat's off. No
kidding.
I mean, if he was able to pull this off, he's like, oh, yo, you should win. Like, I'll be around, whatever. Oh, yeah, now that I've got both belts, guess what? I only want to work this much, and you're fucked. Because who are you going to have beat me?
Well, you know, and I'm sure having dealt with Brock Lesnar before, they probably weren't too scared of this situation. They've gone through it before, and he's obviously a name you don't want to piss off if you're them or rub the wrong way, especially now that there's some, you know, competition out there. Not that I think there's ever any chance he would go to AEW.
No. No. Do you think this exacerbated them wanting Cody?
No.
Because again, this can't be new. So like, or do you think Cody just kind of fell into their lap and that was a convenient thing?
I think the latter for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, they would have pulled the trigger on Cody no matter what. That was too much of a statement signing for them.
Yeah, they can steal an EVP. They're going to do it. Yeah. I think regardless. I think it was a happy accident that they came at the same time.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Sure. Like, we don't know what happened between Cody and Tony Khan. Do you think when maybe WWE's like, shit, Roman wants to work less, we can only get Lesnar to work less, we got to do something. And, like, you know, when the idea of signing Cody, like, they became more aggressive, or you're just saying, well, they would have got him no matter what.
Yeah, the only way I could see it. Yeah, the only way I could see it making any kind of difference is maybe with the money, where if this would have come out before they had Cody, Cody would be like, oh, you just lost a, you know, main event guy for quite a while. I think I might need a little extra cheddar on my contract.
Good point.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think you tell Vince McMahon that Cody is open to coming back, and he hears that and he's like, pay him whatever we need to do it.
That's what I think. Good point. Yeah. Good point. So just to recap what was said today by Meltzer, he says basically Roman Reigns is not going to be on every pay-per-view. We said that already. He's off the Chicago show, Hell in a Cell, which is the next pay-per-view on June 5th. He'll be doing pay-per-views this summer, even though he was removed from all the advertising after June 24th, I believe it is. Now, he previously said June 19th because because I had read a recap before I got a chance to listen to it and thought it was May 19th, and that led to some jokes in the Facebook page because you never have a chance to miss on a chance to make joke about May 19th, but June 24th in Austin. Okay, so Meltzer seems very adamant that it's June 24th now. But he's been removed from all advertising, from house shows, everything except for the two stadium shows, Money in the Bank and SummerSlam, but he will do TVs to build up those shows. So it's not like he's not going to be on TV, but he's not going to be doing a lot of dates. What I understand, the shows he'll be on eventually, probably sooner than later, they'll start advertising him, so dates will be known. So it just seems like right now, WWE just took him off everything. We all know, like I said, we all know he's going to be missing time, but we don't have the specific events that he's going to be missing. But
right. So I'm going to this house show next weekend, taking my kid to her first show, and he's still advertised for that one. So, I mean, we'll see. They also still have Charlotte Flair, though, on there, and I do not believe she's going to be there. So, I mean, we'll see. But yeah, June is really when it all kicks in with the limited date.
Yeah, it just feels like if he's going to be getting some I think he's going to be getting a longer break. So I don't know. Yeah. We'll see how long it is, but he's definitely missing time.
Should we transition to AEW?
Why not?
All right. So Dynamite last night.
What if I said no? What would we talk about?
I'm like, well, see you later. This has been episode 251 of Top Rope Nation. As we transition to AEW, we do have a question in the chat. We might as well just throw this in here. Luigi checking in wants to know when will Kenny Omega return to AEW? And I mean, that is the million-dollar question. Nobody knows for sure. We have speculated that he may make some kind of appearance at Double or Nothing in a couple of weeks, not to wrestle, but perhaps appear. I know that everybody wants to see him on that show at the end of June in Chicago with New Japan Pro Wrestling, and that would be the ideal circumstance for him to return if he's ready to go. Kenny did an interview with Wrestling Observer Radio with Dave Meltzer and Garrett Gonzalez. Boy, this was like a month or two ago, and he was talking about the surgeries he had coming up. And as I recall, at one point he said that he had one surgery coming up on the schedule, and I believe from when he had that surgery, he'd be able to return 2 months later or something like that. But they didn't know when the surgery was. So if he's had that surgery, he could potentially be back by the end of June. But we just don't know for sure. I mean, they're holding that card close to their vest, but we all want to see Kenny back. And end of June seems like the perfect scenario if he can go.
Might need him back for All Out in Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're going to need contenders for that title, too. That's another thing. Not just, when we talked about him coming back potentially to work the Forbidden Door pay-per-view, I think we all agreed that that would be out of, his personal desire to want to work that show. I think there's a need, perhaps, to have him on All Out. Because you're going to, after this, no matter who wins, Punk or Paige in Vegas, I don't know what person jumps off the page as the next pay-per-view title contender. Kenny Omega, as the former champion, is somebody you could slot right in there if you want.
Yeah. And then I assume, you know, throughout the summer, they're going to do some of those outside of New Japan. They're going to do some of those themed Dynamites too. Like they usually do what Fighter Fest mm-hmm. in the summer. That's probably coming up too. They'll probably build up a big match for their Fight for the Fallen. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. I mean, I want to see him back as soon as possible, but we want this guy to get healthy. My God, he was working with just some horrendous injuries. It's amazing he could work at all, what he was going through all the way through Full Gear. So Dynamite in Long Island last night. So I mean, there's been a lot in the news regarding AEW scheduling, by the way. So it looks like they're going back to Arthur Ashe in the fall, which was that was an event that they had the Dynamite at with over 20,000 people last fall. Looked amazing on television. People that were in the venue weren't as big of fans, including Frank Pettiani, friend of the show from PW Torch. He, you know, it was like a difficult venue to get to. They are returning. Hopefully they can work out some of the kinks there. But, you know, they're back on Long Island here again for their second show there. And Kyle, you got in the show notes, Bizarro World in Long Island, because Punk, he's kept this going where he's working heel in Long Island. MJF, he gets the Heroes welcome back in his hometown area. And it's interesting to see that dynamic on television. They've leaned into it completely. It looks like they're going to just keep rolling with that. I'll start to Justin first. I mean, what did you think of the way Punk handled himself last night and MJF as well?
The Punk stuff makes zero sense to me, especially with Hangman seemingly coming off as a heel last week. And now this week it's CM Punk playing the heel. I just because that one just seems wholly unnecessary. Like there's a way that he could have come out and not been the heel and just continued with this babyface run. The only thing I could think of is maybe they're both leaning into it to draw a little bit of confusion as to who the winner might be at the show. As far as the MJF Wardlow segment, I did see a lot of people online who didn't like it, but my thought was watching it is, for one, if you're a big Wardlow fan, you can watch that and say, hey, he's in enemy territory, you know, MJF's area. And he still came out fine. But, you know, by the end of that segment, he was getting cheers. I don't think it did any harm to him. And it was really entertaining. So I just didn't have as much of a problem with that, to quote Kyle, Bizarro segment, as much as I did with the Punk thing, especially because I, on my own, had to look up what the deal with that jersey was. I don't follow hockey. I don't know who that guy was. I had a Wikipedia to figure out.
Not a lot of NHL fans on the broadcast.
So yeah. I had to double check it too, because I'm not a huge NHL fan, but when Punk turned around and he had John Tavares, I was like, wait, didn't he leave? And I knew what Punk was going for. Yeah. I thought the announcing last night on Dynamite was absolutely atrocious, and they needed to point that out. They were unclear. They're like, I think at one point it might have been Excalibur, actually. He was like, oh, was Punk extending an olive branch by wearing an Islanders jersey? No, he was doing the opposite. So it was bad. A troll job. Like, I was like, oh, my God, do you not have your announcers clued in?
Hey, okay, that's what I was going to say. That could be on Punk for not telling them about it, because we can't just expect them to know who this player
is. Right. But that's something that needs to be conveyed to the announcers. You're right. Yeah. I mean,
I'm going for heat here. Make sure you point this out. Yeah.
And then another thing that I'm announcing, Jim Ross needs to stop, like, putting over how Bret Hart's turnbuckle bump was a trademark move. No, he was the other guy was on offense. I saw two people point that out as an announcer criticism. Alan Forel was one, and Jonathan Snowden was the other. But they were both spot on. I usually like Alan Forel a lot better, his takes, than Snowden. But, hey, you know, we all came together and agreed there.
It'd be like, hey, you remember how The Rock, you know, like that signature move, how he took the stunner, man? I mean, just great signature move.
It takes away
the realism because, like, yes. Yeah, Brett's taking a bump. So, like, it's not a signature move when you're getting your ass kicked.
No. And, you know, I'll point this out. I actually have to get my charger. I just realized I did my weekly thing where I left the charger upstairs and now it says low battery, you idiot. But I'll be back if I was. Punk and you guys could talk about this. Punk and Paige taking turns acting heelish the last couple weeks. I also thought it was kind of odd, but then I started thinking, you know, historically, it's actually not. You know, Hogan and Warrior both kind of leaned into a little bit in their build.
Mm-hmm.
For WrestleMania 6, Austin and Rock at WrestleMania 17.
Yeah. But it wasn't as outwardly as this.
You're probably right. Yeah. I mean, do you think, okay, here's the thing. Punk Wrestling John Silver, Long Island Zone,
mm-hmm.
was like the first clue that they were going to keep rolling with this. Do you think if they had just kind of not brought up the last time Punk was in Long Island, the crowd would have remembered about it and wanted to boo him?
That's what I was kind of alluding to in my speech.
Yeah, that's what I was like.
I don't think they would have cared.
No. I think it's clear just that it's the video. No. Great points. I completely agree, because I think that, yeah, when they announced he was working a hometown guy, then I'm like, yeah, he's probably going to lead into it again. But if he wasn't, I don't think that he had to. They wouldn't have booed him. It's CM Punk. Everybody's still really happy to see him. You know, MJF is getting the pop, but he's not working MJF anymore. So I haven't really looked at the Punk and Hangman stuff really as like a heel face dynamic. I almost look at it as more as just almost like it's a real fight and you don't even really care about the crowd response too much. Like, I know Hangman went off on the crowd a little bit about like the guy in the Punk shirt a couple of weeks ago or last week, whenever that was. But I almost just see it as like the guys just act like they're pissed off. They got a fight coming up. You know, they don't really care what anyone thinks. They're That's wrestling for the world championship. And it's not like it's a full turn. It's just like heat of the moment type stuff, if that makes sense.
It almost feels like a very UFC kind of build, because like, yes. It bothered me at first that Hangman seemingly came out of nowhere with, you know, you think I'm going to come out here and say I respect you or shake your hand? Well, I'm not going to, you know, that kind of rubbed me the wrong way. But to your point, that is something exactly a UFC fighter would come out and say. It's like, I don't respect you, you know, I'm going to whoop your ass. So I guess the counter with Punk saying, you know, no matter what, he was going to shake Hangman's hand at the end of this match, and then he flipped him off and ran off. It wasn't too bad, I suppose. It's just a little confusing, a little convoluted, maybe.
No, I think you're exactly right with the UFC comparison. It's just like it's a real fight. Sometimes they care about crowd response, but in the end, it's just about winning. And I feel like they're just leaning into the fact that technically it's a babyface match. They don't know exactly what the dynamics of that crowd are going to be. So they're going to kind of just play it both ways. Like, they got real heat. You want to boo me? You want to cheer me? I don't really give a damn. I'm beating this guy for the world championship, and that's that. So I don't view it as a heel turn per se, as just almost like we're tuning you out unless you're booing me, and then I might acknowledge you. But otherwise, I want to be world champion, and that's how we're rolling. So, Kyle, what do you think?
I'm back, and thank you for giving me a second to catch my breath, because I did a very quick sprint up two flights of stairs.
Wait. Hold on. Are you telling me that you are back and better than ever?
Don't start with that.
I can't go a week without bringing him up to you, Kyle.
Oh, well.
Your man.
Maybe we'll bring him up at the end. I apologize if I am saying anything that you guys already said with this dynamic. I don't really mind it. It's kind of, it is odd, but do you think that it affects, because I don't, anyone's fandom of Punk outside the arena? You were talking about with Wardlow, Justin, and I think with the AEW audience, I think if they just don't, they just recognize, okay, this is what he does mm-hmm. in this city, this is what happens, and people still like him. Like, if it had an effect, a negative effect on CM Punk, I'd say, what are you guys doing? But we saw this in the MJF buildup, and it had zero effect. Yeah. And, you know, Austin Hart Foundation, anyone? Perhaps you remember that feud? It's not like Steve Austin, you know, being a heel in Canada affected his stardom in the United States.
I don't know. It was just like, I saw Steve Austin get handcuffed and flip the crowd off, and I was like, I can't cheer this guy.
This guy is just too rude. Yeah. So
I would like to know why they're leaning so heavily into it, considering where they were with the jersey against the hometown guy, him doing the buckshot lariat to get the win, which that is, to your earlier point, Kyle, that is very much Rock and Austin feud, yes. Trading finishers. That is just, that's the only thing I don't get, is why they're leaning so heavily into it.
Yeah. I think the thing went to black, my computer there temporarily. I had said that if, do you think that if they had just abandoned this, not leaned into Punk, how he was in Long Island last time, do you think the crowd would have even remembered or would have just given him a hero's welcome?
So. As long as they had a different opponent.
Yes, yes, exactly. I mean, like I said, Silver was the first clue that they were going to lean to it. Mm-hmm. We need to talk about MJF, by the way. Did you see this Fightful report?
Yeah.
About frustrated with his contract.
And that he might be looking at not re-signing.
Don't you think that's just negotiation tactics? That would be a horrible blow, but... Yeah, I mean, we've kind of talked about this in the Facebook group. And boy, he is a special kind of talent. I mean, the dude is just a great heel. Great 21st century heel. I would worry so much that he would lose his luster in WWE. That he wouldn't have the freedom he needs to get over like he does in AEW. That he couldn't push the envelope as much as he does in AEW. I mean, if the guy can get paid and make a lot more money in WWE, more power to him, I'd do it too. I'm just saying, like, from a character standpoint, if he does leave in 2 years, I'd be a little worried about that. But, you know,
is he the number one guy that you wouldn't want to lose if you're AEW, considering the future?
I don't think so.
He's up. I mean, Paige is up there, obviously. I think you don't want to lose another executive vice president. I mean, they're not as critical in the ring for the future because they're getting older, but like losing Kenny would be pretty huge. Especially if he gets healed up and he's doing really good work again. I mean, he was always doing really good work, but I mean, like, even better because he's completely healed.
Do we think WWE would give Kenny Omega a good push, though?
Oh, yeah. I do.
Okay. Just they wanted him once upon a time.
Yeah. He was there briefly.
Well, and now with the competition to send a signal, I think we've talked about this before with Cody, is these guys will probably get a better push than would have originally happened because they're like, hey, come to us. You're going to get this awesome push.
Yeah.
And there's certainly a lot of spots in WWE for the taking. And they don't have a lot of main event guys. I mean, we've joked about this in the past. Like, everyone has basically been on that show for 6 years.
Yeah.
I mean, these people who think that, you know, the not scientific theory and Braun Breaker and Carmelo Hayes are going to be like, you know, dominate this promotion for the next generation. I think you might be a little guilty of wishful thinking there.
I mean, it's so hard to predict. He's got, what, 2 years left on his deal? I don't know when in 2024 that deal ends. I would assume middle of the year based on when the promotion started up. Maybe it's early in the year, though.
I thought I read it was like January 1st, 2024.
Oh, okay. If that's the case, yeah, it makes sense. That's when they announced the company. So it could be. And, you know, if that's the case, it's smart of him to kind of get that out there because it could be a negotiation tactic. It's also hard to say, you know, where the company's going to be. AEW, financially, I'm sure WWE will be ultra strong.
Okay. And yes, you hit on something very key there, Ryan. Right now, Tony is not in a strong position, I think, to give out big contracts. He signed a lot of people, a lot of ex-WWE refugees, and he's got to be waiting for that new TV deal, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that is like the next big thing in this industry. Is this the AEW next TV deal? And like, if they get a big rights increase, okay, then he can back up the truck and give these guys big deals. But if he doesn't,
yeah,
I don't know, that he's in trouble. And when does that TV deal?
That's what I was going to ask. Yeah,
it's 2023, but is it the end of 2023?
Yeesh.
Like, basically, well, bang bang with the MJF contract.
Wouldn't you think it would be about the time that Dynamite started? What was that?
Well, like they renewed him. They renewed him like what, 6 months in or so? So that would be like the spring, probably. Because I want to say it was like early to spring 2020 when they got a new deal because they were so glad, you know, like happy about how Dynamite was doing in the ratings early on. But I mean, the whole other aspect to this too is, does him putting that out there affect his booking at all? Now, we know if this was WWE and a talent was talking about how they want to leave the promotion or they're frustrated with the promotion, and it was, you know, like a year and a half or whatever before their deal was up, Vince would be pissed and he wouldn't push that person. Tony Khan's a totally different guy in how he approaches wrestling. And it's hard to deny. You can't deny MJF's talent. We've talked on this podcast so much in the past about how he's future world champion, has to be a future world champion. this company, though, like, they also have a lot of people waiting in the wings now, it seems like, who could get the world title because they do such long reigns with the world championship. So do you think him putting that out there, like, takes away the odds of him winning the world championship at all? Like, do you think Tony would look at that as, maybe I don't want to make this guy world champion until he commits to us longer term?
Well, he's going to probably lose the Wardlow at the pay-per-view, right?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that makes no sense for him to win, given the scenario they've laid out. It would kill Wardlow's momentum. Yeah, and I mean, he lost the Punk feud, I guess. But he is a heel, and heels should, I mean, historically speaking, lose feuds. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you're certainly not going to want to have the title on him, like, in late 2023 now. Right. I'll tell you that much. And by the way, I looked it up. The deal does. Yeah, it goes. It said through 2023, so I don't know. That's kind of an awkward situation. But someone else brought up a good point. I was like, immediately, like, when I saw that report about MJF being unhappy, I was like, AEW in the mud. It's all over. Kiss it goodbye. You work so hard for something and it goes down the drain. But here's something to think about. By the time 2024 rolls around, he'll have been in the promotion for 5 years. That used to be what we would call a run in the old days. Like, you know, Jake Roberts, the 6-year rule. And, you know, Jake Roberts obviously had one of the greatest runs of all time in WWE, surpassed only by the tippy top guys. So, you know, it might be a deal where it's interesting, to Ryan's point. Okay, do you put the world title on him now if he's saying this publicly? I don't know. But, you know, for him, maybe we're just getting worried about nothing. Maybe he's accomplished everything he wanted to do in those 5 years, and it's just time for him to freshen up, go somewhere else.
Yeah.
I think it would be a terrible loss for AEW, though.
No, I agree. He is one of those unique stars. Yeah. You know, homegrown. Yeah, that'd be a big blow. Cody was a big blow because he was an EVP. I mean, a big blow optically. I don't really think it hurt the promotion too much, but
MJF means more right now, I think, than Cody did at the time of his departure.
100%. Yeah. So, I agree. When you look at the homegrown talent that have become stars with them, that would be huge. Be absolutely huge.
MJF kind of mentioned Cody. He didn't kind of. He did in that promo last night. What do you guys think about them basically aping the Cody-MJF feud for MJF and Wardlow now, with the 10 lashes, the cage match, to get to the big match?
That's exactly
what they did.
I like it. It makes sense because it is the same guy doing it. It's not like they're just regurgitating this with completely different talent. It's the same guy doing the same thing to somebody different, and with the unique twist that going into this cage match, instead of Wardlow, it's Sean Spears. So I like it. I think it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. It's not a storyline where you can just give it to anybody and then all of a sudden your performers start to feel interchangeable. Well, anyone can do this program. It's just a storyline they like and they'll give it to anybody. You're right. If it's unique, they're keeping it unique to MJF. Justin.
Yes. Yep.
I can't remember if this was Top Rope Nation Extra or one of your appearances on Liam's show, Kyle, but you said on one podcast recently, you joke that, you know, if you were a booker, you'd rip off old storylines all the time. Stuff that works.
Oh, absolutely. I would.
And so, like, I mean, if stuff has worked in the past, why not play off of that? If it's different people, you do a little bit differently. I think it's smart.
Well, personally, I would just like to see what I could get away with that Vince McMahon wouldn't remember. I would just like to rip things off. I've asked around about that. Like, people, you know, who might know, absolutely. There's no chance he would remember that. If you like, especially if you're ripping stuff off from like other promotions.
Yeah.
He's like, the only risk is that like one of the older guys would tell on you what you're doing. Like, you know, like somebody would like, you know.
So Vince, I think we need to open the show with one of the GMs playing guitar for two straight minutes. Sweet.
Another Eric Bischoff reference.
Shouldn't give this guy the time of day. I'm just going to say this. Eric Bischoff killed WCW. People don't give him enough grief for what he did to Impact. Him and Hogan killed that promotion. Put its name in the mud permanently. I believe they were coming off their two most profitable years ever when they took over. And that promotion went straight down the freaking toilet when they took over. Okay. Yeah. By the way, on a personal level, the man is going through bankruptcy right now. So other than that, he's someone I would really value listening to about a professional wrestling promotion in 2022, how they should do business. This is obviously someone who, you know, really has their finger on the pulse of business, has killed two wrestling companies and doesn't have a freaking dollar in his pocket.
Mm.
I value Eric Bischoff's opinion on pro wrestling in 2022 about as much as I value his opinion on how to stay out of Just for Men. Okay. Guy stinks.
Tell us how you really feel.
Don't like him. pick me a couple winners in the Owen. Let's do a hard right turn.
You know, speaking men's of the announcing, women. I was thinking about this. So speaking of the announcing.
Oh.
Did they ever mention, if they did, I missed it. Did they mention that Jeff Hardy worked Owen Hart? Was that mentioned by the announce team at all? That he wrestled, yes. He actually wrestled Owen Hart? Did they actually mention that?
Oh, shit. Now I'm not during sure. During the match? I swear, I thought I heard somebody say, no, you know what? Maybe you're right. Maybe,
I don't remember. Know. I don't know missed if they did. They did. That's like something you should be calling out. You know, like it's the Owen tournament. Here's a guy who had early in his career when, God, he was a teenager working WWF shows. He actually worked against the great Owen Hart. Now here he is trying to win the tournament in his honor. You know, like I didn't hear that. Maybe they said it. I could be wrong.
No, I think
I totally missed it. But if they did say it, they said in passing and I missed it. Yeah. Like it should have been a big factor that they mentioned. And I didn't hear that. So, I mean, yeah, Jeff worked Owen in like 95, 94, I want to say. So
my guess is Tony doesn't know that at all. Excalibur may not know that.
Oh, I'm sure there's a Tony there that does know.
Yeah, that's true. And JR has probably forgotten.
Yeah.
I got a question. Where does that match rank on Jeff Hardy's best singles matches? Because holy shit, I want to say top three at least.
You're talking about last night?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, not the Owen match.
I was like, my God, is this something I need to revisit? I thought it was great. I mean, this Darby Allin, does this man not care?
No.
That ladder bump he took to the outside.
To the chairs? What are you doing?
Insane. I don't know how he walked away from that.
But who's going to win the tournament? You know, not going to hold you to it. Not going to, like, you know, make fun of you in 3 weeks if you're wrong. I'm not necessarily sure I know.
Well, we don't know who the Joker is yet.
The Joker's the key. Which, okay, that's really weird. Like, if they're bringing in somebody, like, let's just say a Cesaro or Gargano, are they bringing them in to beat Samoa Joe, who's basically had two televised AEW matches? I mean,
yeah, you know, I'm not against the concept of the Joker. I'm interested to hear your guys' response to this. Pro concept, but I don't know if Joe is the right guy to oppose the Joker.
No, not at all. It doesn't make any sense because you think with the Joker, it's going to come in, be a big surprise, and then he beats Samoa Joe, who just won a title for Ring of Honor. I don't like it.
No,
unless it's going to be like a homicide or something. I don't know.
What if it's Satnam Singh, one in a billion?
Just looking at the names in the bracket and everything, and thinking about who should be on Double or Nothing in a primo match, I got to think right now Cole and Joe in the finals makes the most sense.
You think Cole and Joe? What if I was thinking Cole and O'Reilly? And they may want to right the wrongs of NXT.
Do you think those two could do that? Or would we just get another takeover match?
Well, I don't know if they could, but maybe they'd be into it. Where is this bracket here? I need to look up the bracket. I don't think, because I think...
You think they want to do the friends having a match? I don't know. With the New Japan show on the horizon where they're probably going to team up. I mean, well, I don't
where's know. The bracket? Let me get the bracket here. Hold on.
I got it on my screen. I can share it with you.
Oh, hold good. On. That'd be
I'll put
even
it in
better.
The chat.
So who's Kyle O'Reilly facing next?
Rey Fénix, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
And Rey Fénix, I assume, is going to lose because I could see one thing that we could talk about. I think one of the big takeaways for me from last night's Dynamite is there's a lot of moving pieces with this Double or Nothing card. So I definitely think Kyle O'Reilly is going to beat Rey Fénix because Rey Fénix, I would imagine, is going to be in a trios match, House of Black versus Death Triangle at the pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
The Joker is really the wild card.
Yeah.
In that. I definitely think Adam Cole's going to beat Jeff Hardy because I think it's Hardy's and Young Bucks at the pay-per-view as well. Right. Yeah. Which, by the way, got shockingly little reaction
not a lot of
2 weeks
not
ago.
A lot of heat.
When the Bucks came out to confront them, like it was clearly supposed to be this big tidal wave from the crowd, this huge response, like, holy shit, we might be getting this soon. And it didn't really come. It was kind of awkward.
I would like to say, fantastic wrestler. Someone's got to show Adam Cole how to apply the sharpshooter. That did not look good last night. It was worse than Dwayne Johnson sharpshooter possibly.
Oh no.
It was in the same league. The way they shot it, I couldn't really see how he was sitting back. Dwayne's big thing was he never really sat back on it, but he did the same thing that The Rock did where he'd have like both legs under his arm and I'm like, "Come on, Adam. You're a great wrestler. You got to know better than that." But that was a hell of a match. I really enjoyed that match. And it was so cool to see Owen's widow, Martha, there. They didn't show the kids on television, but they were there. They had Tony tweeted out the picture. Cool to see Owen's kids. God, his son looks just like him.
Yes. Yes, he does.
Dead ringer.
Yes, he
does. I mean, his daughter does too. It's crazy. But it's really cool to see them having that peace around the wrestling business again and working with a promotion that they feel like they can work with and honoring their dad. Their husband, and the whole thing just really makes you feel good. And I love seeing Owen Hart honored like this. So, enjoyed that match. It's fantastic. On the women's side, who do
you think Adam Cole, by the way, just for the men's real quick, I'm going to pick Adam Cole to win.
Yeah.
To win.
I think Cole and Joe, and probably I would go with Cole as well, if that's the final.
I don't know. I think, are they going to have Joe just beat the Joker, though, Ryan? That seems odd.
I think they are. Like, why beat?
What if the Jay Lethal gang comes out and costs him?
They could do that. I mean, again, it just depends who it is. If it's someone that's kind of underwhelming, then he's just beat their ass and move on. But if it's someone big, yeah.
I mean, who would be the good surprise outside of Cesaro and Johnny Gargano? Because if it's one of those two, you can't do the heels running in to cost Joe the match.
Those are two people on my short list, and Miro would be the other person on my short list.
Okay. That one would make more. Actually, I think I really like that one, but you can't do Miro and Cole.
I don't know that I really like Miro in that situation. Cause I feel like Miro and Joe is an awesome match. You should build to rather than as a surprise.
Maybe they should have done the Joker.
Yeah. I mean, it gets people to tune in out of some curiosity, but well, it just doesn't feel like you should be Joe right now. So, I mean, just looking at the names, don't know who the Joker is, but looking at the names, I just feel like Cole and Joe in Las Vegas is a hell of a match in the final. We'll see.
I think it's going to be the Joker or O'Reilly.
It can't be that. That'll be the semifinal.
No, I'm saying it'll be or O'Reilly against
Cole. Oh, gotcha. Gotcha. Gotcha.
Joker or O'Reilly.
Gotcha.
O'Reilly. That was the only JR joke that landed in the last 4 weeks.
All right. So on the women's side, we saw Toni Storm win last night. So there isn't going to be a DMD versus Jamie Hayter match yet. And she's the only one who has advanced, right?
Yes.
We got Britt taking on the Joker. And on the other side of the bracket, we got Riho, Ruby Soho, Red Velvet, and Sheeta.
I think Hikaru Shida got injured, they announced. Or did I?
Yeah, no, you're right. Who did
Chris
I hear?
Statlander. Chris Statlander's
yes,
replacing
him. Thank you.
Oh,
thank
really? You. Okay.
Yes.
This bracket I'm looking at is from last night, so that was not updated.
Yeah.
And do we want to do spoilers for Rampage? Because we know who won one of these matches.
Oh, please tell me. I haven't looked at the Rampage spoilers yet, but I like knowing.
If you do not want to know who won and you're listening Friday morning, mute this for the next minute or so. Forewarning. Okay, go ahead.
Ruby Soho beat Riho.
Okay.
Okay. I think that's probably the least interesting quarterfinal. Is that a fair comment to make? In the sense that I didn't think either of those two were going to win.
Yeah. Okay.
Well,
that right side of the
bracket.
That's
what I was just thinking.
That just screams loser in the final, all of them.
Yeah. Looking at it, I almost think it might be Ruby.
Alan Forel, I'll reference him twice in the show. He said you could use this tournament to build up Toni Storm. She would beat Red Velvet in the final, who is now, you know, one of Jade's baddies. Mm-hmm. And that could set up Toni Storm against Jade. I don't hate that booking.
No, I like Toni Storm to win this tournament, just looking at the brackets and everything. Yeah, I don't think Britt needs it. We don't know who the Joker is, but Ember looking Moon, at all the names, Yeah.
I saw our Brian, our buddy, next week, Dynamite's in Houston. Where's Ember Moon from?
Houston. There you go. Yeah, I mean, she could pull out a win over Britt potentially. But I think I would still go Toni Storm in the end.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, to win it all. That would be my pick on the women's side for sure.
I actually feel way more confident about, I feel pretty confident about Adam Cole on the men's, but yeah, I think I feel more confident about Toni Storm here in the women's.
Justin, your thoughts?
I think I agree, but I mean, if it's Ember Moon and she beats Britt Baker, do you have Toni go over Ember Moon? Or Athena, as she is known?
Yes.
I would in a competitive match.
Yeah.
They're both
AEW has shown that they'll do that. You know, they'll bring somebody in, they'll have a good first showing, and then they lose the second time.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's basically what happened to Ruby, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Or Swerve Strickland, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rest of the show, you know, it looks like we're heading for a three-way for the tag titles. Jurassic Express gets Hobbs and Starks. And then
Keith Lee, MJF's new tag team partner, Snobs.
What about FTR? Where do they factor in on this double or nothing card that we're going to be attending? Do you think it gets into a four-way? Didn't they get in the champ's face a few weeks ago? Did I imagine that? I thought Liam and I talked about that. Because remember, we were like, yeah, they did. Because Liam and I were like, FTR versus Jurassic Express would be horrible matchmaking in a straight-up situation.
Isn't it crazy? We're always in these situations where we're just a couple of weeks before the show and we're still debating where, like, what matches are they going to add? They add them all at the last second and we just get hyped up. Yeah.
Yeah. I know, but it feels like there's so many movable pieces.
Yeah. I think they have to, if they're looking at this potential triple threat for the tag, I think you got to add FTR in there just because at the last pay per view, we already had the triple threat tag team match.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think that's how you fit FTR in there.
Yeah. And then it's not, you know, the bad dynamic that Liam and I talked about, FTR versus Jurassic Express. But you know what's funny is Starks and Hobbs, I wouldn't mind seeing them getting a run.
I agree.
I don't know if anyone caught this Road 2. You know, those always are well done. The most recent for Dynamite on Wednesday, this Ricky Starks looked like one of the top stars in the business on this thing. People need to check that out. Ricky Starks is a guy very high on my list in AEW.
Agree.
Yeah.
This guy, I mean, you watch, you're like, oh my God, is this guy one of like the top five, not forget about AEW, top five stars in the business he looked like in this promo. God, was this guy exuding stardom. I'm a big Ricky Starks guy.
He's one of those guys. He's another one of those guys waiting in the wings.
That's what, like, when you talk about how big of a loss it'd be to lose MJF, part of my hesitance and like saying, yeah, is, well, I mean, kind of have Ricky Starks right there to take his place.
Yeah.
I agree that they need to pull the, I think they were, Toni was a little gun shy with the neck injury for a while, but they did a good thing putting him on, even though I don't think he's like the best color guy on Rampage. It kept him out there in front of cameras, but God, his promo ability is really top notch in this promotion. Blackpool Combat Club clearly needed a direction. When I was watching their squash last week on Dynamite, I'm like, these are fun, but where are we going with these guys?
Mm-hmm.
What's their destination? We saw them come out last night, get involved in the Kingston Santana Ortiz Jericho Appreciation Society feud. Obviously, there's going to be some huge multi-person match, Double or Nothing.
Which I don't know, how does that work if you're going to have a triple or, you know, four-way tag title match?
Yeah, that's just, well, I would hope it's just two sides. Like, I would hope that that Kingston it'd be baby, but there's six baby faces between the two groups and only five heels. So somebody's got to sit out. And I don't think there's somebody who people are going to say, oh, Wheeler Yuta could sit out, but I think you would want Wheeler Yuta in the match.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You want him in the match for sure. He's a rising star. You don't want him to lose anything. You want him to capitalize on this right now. So,
Ryan, this is a question I think you would have a very quick answer to. They can't do blood and guts, can they, for this? Because it's set up for a certain thing, right?
Yeah. No, they're going to do – they would do a TV special for that, I would think, this summer. Yeah.
Okay.
But, like, logistically right now –
yeah, I mean, just the way the arena's set up, too.
Okay, yeah. I would say the arena's not set up. Like, they logistically can't do blood and guts at Double or Nothing, right?
Boy, I don't think – based on the seating charts I've seen, I don't think so. I don't think they'd have space for it.
Okay.
So, no, I don't think logistically that would work. And, yeah, I expect them in those, you know, the dog days of summer when they're building up to some big matches that they'll probably pull that one out.
Although summer's kind of their hottest period historically. Like last, like, what was it? When the crowds came back in July through Labor, that was like the hottest period this promotion ever had, I thought personally.
Well, yeah, that's true.
I mean, there were some extenuating circumstances there, buddy.
Yeah.
Like you just said, the crowds were coming back.
Crowds were back, so I added something to it. But I mean, it does feel like a long time when you're in those hot summer months and you're waiting from Memorial Day to Labor Day to get to that next pay-per-view. They've got the specials, like we mentioned, Fyter Fest, Fight for the Fallen, and all of that. But, and we'll have the New Japan show this summer. But I do think, you know, that gives them something to lean on to draw in the viewers. So
yeah,
we'll see. I mean, we'll see when they pulled out. It was originally not going to be a summer show, you know, like Tony announced after Revolution 2020, and it was going to be in the spring. So I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, logistically, it would not fit there in the T-Mobile arena. So
yeah, I just hope, you know, Justin, I think you mentioned this, that it's not a three-way with the three groups.
Yeah, that doesn't work. Especially with the Mox and Kingston connection. Well, yeah. I mean, I guess that could be interesting.
So, yeah. Anything else we haven't hit on? This has been a pretty fast show tonight. Hit a lot of topics, but...
yeah, I like it. No, I think we got everything on my format sheet, Tony.
All right. We got the Bischoff bashing in. We got the little tidbits on Reigns in early in the show. And we got all the AEW thoughts in.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, just real quick. A moment I loved on Dynamite. Shout out to that Hook saving Danhausen. Little bit of business there. I liked that. Especially with Tony Nese getting the win without the entrance. That was great.
It's funny when Tony Nese was introduced already in the ring and kissed his muscles. That's like, I think I'd said that in the past. That is like, to me, Tony Nese's role. Because he reminds me of almost like an 80s jobber. Just a guy, Tony Nese, kissed his muscles. But in that case, he won. Oh, and MJF's spoof of Dark Side of the Ring was unbelievable. Oh,
that was great.
I can't believe
it's like, wait, what am I doing here? Oh, wait, how much has he paid me? Okay.
Yeah. Barry Horowitz, I mean, getting a cameo.
Yes. Speaking of Jericho, you know, Aaron mentioned in the chat here, what does Sammy have going on? You know, obviously, could he join in with Jericho? What do we think there?
Mixed tag. They've still promised that, remember? That mixed tag, him and Ty against Scorpio Sky and Paige Van Zandt. They said it. Yeah. Some of these matches also, too, what, like, I was looking at what people were projecting for this card. I see a lot of stuff that should go on Dynamite or Rampage.
Mm-hmm. True.
You know, Tony's in an interesting position now, having beefed up his roster. You don't want to cheapen the idea of being on pay-per-view and, like, have, like, 10... match, you know, like trying to force ways where everyone's on the card and you do a lot of multi-person matches. I think we've kind of expressed our feelings on those in the last 5 minutes, right? That sounds like another promotion that we know.
I think
how they used to do it.
I think you just want more time to hit the Vegas Strip after the show, Kyle. I think that's what's in the back of your mind. Get the show over with so I can get out there and party.
We're in good shape. Remember what I told you?
Yeah, it ends early. Vegas, I realize
it's gonna start at like 4 o'clock local time.
Yeah, we'll have plenty of time that night,
which is good because I feel that's a good time to, you know, I mean, I know we're true broadcast professionals, but I feel we'll have like a good buzz like that. You know, like that late start time. Sometimes you're like,
yeah,
you know, how can you not around.
Too? Walking out of a pay per view. I mean, we'll have a bunch of buddies there sitting near us and. Hopefully, the whole crew.
So much time to ride elevators. Just randomly run into each other.
Just
a lot of elevators in that time. Hotel.
God bless his soul, by the way.
Going to be a great time. Great time in Vegas. Hard to believe it's only 2 weeks away, guys.
Jesus.
We'll be there. If you're a listener of the show, let us know. Email
Jesus
us.
Jesus will Top not Rope be there, Nation. Though, I don't think. He couldn't get a ticket. It's sold out.
TopRopeNation@gmail.com. In the Facebook group, by the way, you know, we always promote this every week. If you're not in the Facebook group, the link's in the description of the video and podcast here. But I'm sure we probably will do like some kind of Top Rope Nation meetup at some point when we're in Vegas. I'm planning on, you know, making a stickied post in the Facebook group where we can have everyone coordinate that, because I know a few of our listeners are going and we want to meet up and have a drink with you guys, and it'll be a good time. So if you want to join us, get in that Facebook group so we can get this thing organized. And it'll be a lot of fun. Bring your Top Rope Nation shirts, like we are all very professionally wearing on this video stream today.
Oh, yes.
There we go.
Just like I'm professionally texting.
I was going to say, are you placing a bet? What's going on here?
Oh, somebody sent something in here.
All right.
Want to see my Brian Landry's phone number?
Save that for the patrons.
Okay.
All right, everybody. It's been episode 251 of Top Rope Nation. Hope you enjoyed. We'll be back next week with a couple new shows. In the meantime, have a great weekend. Take care. We'll see you then.
Hugs and kisses.